Welcome to the 5-Year You Podcast, a show dedicated to helping you become the best version of yourself one day at a time. I'm Andrew.
And I'm Kat, and we promise to keep it raw, real, and relatable.
Are you ready to grow? Hi there, 5Tribe. Today's episode is called How to Build Trust. I'm your host, Andrew, with my co-host, Catherine. Catherine, how are you doing today?
I'm doing really good. How are you, Andrew?
I'm good. I really like this episode topic we came up with. I think when we talk about trust, we have a lot of like, you know when it's broken and you know when it's gone, but to know how to build it is a little, it's almost like reverse engineering a little bit. Mm-hmm. And so trust kind of gets built over time, but maybe before we get into all of that, how would you define trust?
I think for me, when I trust another person, I believe that their intentions and their words match their actions. That is how I would define it. And I agree with you that it seems obvious, like, of course I know how to build trust, like, but when you think about it, you define it, you really define it by, I know when someone's like messed up, screwed me over, lied to me. And so it's the opposite of that, right? But I think a lot of people walk around and maybe their words and actions don't quite, you know, match. And for me, we talk a lot about authenticity on this show. For me, the people I want to be around, do business with, and of course, the type of kids I want to raise is that when you say something, you follow through on it.
I like that. Yeah, I would say trust is kind of a congruence, right, between your words and your actions. And yes, congruence was the word of my day. So
it's a really, really nice word. Thank Congratulations.
You. Thank you. I had to look it up three times before I used it. I agree with you. I think when we look at trust, like, it's such a fragile thing because it can take very little to break trust. And I think in a world where people are definitely feeling more anxious and nervous about everything, trust is becoming really, really important in our personal relationships and in our professional ones. Yep. So when I think about building trust, I think you really started it out nicely, and it's about showing up when you say you're going to show up.
Right.
And doing the things that you should do. So what are some things? Because I think there's a, I also know people that have broken trust and they do it inadvertently. And for me, it can be, I know one of our pet peeves is being on time. So if somebody says they're going to be there at 9 and it's 9:15 and they're not there, I feel like trust is broken a little bit because that person, I've respected their time by being ready and being there, and they haven't. I mean, and we're not talking about extreme circumstances. We're just talking about somebody who's constantly late. So if you're in that situation, like, would you consider that a breach of trust?
Yeah, I think probably lack of respect would be the first thought with that. But I definitely would like to be known as someone who is trustworthy, who shows up on time, because you and I schedule calls. We're both coaching people and we'll set up introductory calls with potential clients. And maybe one out of every five or so just doesn't show up. And it's definitely a bummer because, and of course, things come up. And if people let us know, that's cool. But for us, you know, we block out time, we say no to other things, and we make sure to be here. And that's always hard, too.
Yeah, I think when effectively, like when we're talking about this time thing, it's like when you are saying yes to somebody, you are effectively saying no to everyone else. So when we set up a time, whether it's, you know, personal or professional, and that person is disrespectful of our time, it stings. I personally, what has gone on in the past is that I will learn not to trust this person. And so if I have something that's immediate, like, say, getting me to the airport and picking me up at a certain time, it's not going to be the person I ask, because they have shown me more over and over again that they're really good at saying, I'll do it, and good at volunteering. And what I'd almost sometimes label as like a quote unquote, yes, man, yes, woman.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, you know, like that trust just isn't there. So it's kind of, it's hard to rebuild. And in that case, if I was thinking like, okay, well, what does that person need to do to build trust with me? And it's like, they just need to show up when they say they're going to show up.
Yeah, exactly.
And you really did nail it.
Yeah, I think, I think trust is another good definition is honoring your commitments. And I was Just thinking about our youngest last week did not want to go to orchestra. Their orchestra practices are at 7:30 in the morning. So I also do not want to go to orchestra. But she was saying, like, why do we have to go? And like, it's like this extra morning practice thing that they're supposed to do. And she's like, no one else goes and there's hardly anyone in there. And I'm like, well, we're not anybody. We're not other people. Your teacher showing up at 7:30 in the morning. We made a commitment. We agreed that you were going to learn this instrument at school. And so we honor it. And that's just what we do. And I don't want to come at this from, like, you know, our high horse, because by the time you get to midlife, I'll speak for myself, not Andrew. There have been times I've broken people's trust. There have been things I regret, right? You don't get to middle age. I mean, we all like fibbed to our parents when we were little kids, right? So, I mean, you don't get to be mid age without having some type of experience with trust, whether someone's broken yours or you've broken someone else's. But I will say overall, we try, right, to be the type of people that stick to our word.
Yeah. And while we're on the topic of coming clean, Mom, I know you listened to this and it was me that was stealing cookies for those first 46 years out of the cookie jar. They didn't just magically disappear.
But yeah, pretty sure she knew.
I don't know. You never know. But again, yeah, I think we all do that. I mean, no, we're all perfectly imperfect. We're going to make mistakes. That is part of the condition. But that's why we need to know how to build trust. So if trust gets broken, if it gets damaged, or, you know, I think at some point you need to, for me personally, and again, this is just my take on it. If somebody's consistently breaking their trust with me, that person's out. It's just, it's not worth my time to, it's kind of like getting your heart broken a little bit, but not, maybe not as dramatic, but it's like, you know, if somebody's not doing the things that they say they're going to do, they can still be in my life, but they kind of get pushed from the inner circles to the outer rim. And it's like, you know, I want to have good people around me. I want to have people that I know are going to keep their word and do what they say. And in return, I have to be that way. So, right. And I think, like, if I can respect, and I think this is a big part of trust is just trusting yourself to say, like, look, when I'm going to do something, I say I'm going to do something, I go do it. And once you have that internal trust, people breaking your external trust isn't as damaging. I mean, it still stings, but it's not as bad as, like, it might be when you're relying on everybody to make you feel good. I think when it comes to building trust, I think that when we allow ourselves to learn to trust ourselves, things get easier.
That's definitely something I'm working on. I mean, I will not let other people down, but I will absolutely let myself down time and time again. So that is a really good point to talk about self-trust. And I think maybe people listening they're thinking about their friend that's chronically late to something, or, you know, they're thinking about maybe a family member who they confided in and they betrayed their trust or told another family member about it. We've all had experiences like this. And you might be wondering what to do in those situations. And I think it's really important to advocate for yourself, because if you don't, a lot of resentment builds. And the example of, you know, always meeting a friend for brunch and they're always late and you just irritates the fire out of you every single time. You know, you're like, you're trying to skirt around it. You're telling them, oh, we're meeting at 9:15 when it's really 9:30, you know, just to like try to head them off or whatever. But to me, and this might just be a personality thing because I tend to be very direct, I would just say, hey, I know you don't mean it. I know this is just kind of a quirk of yours, but when you're late, it makes me feel like whatever. I'm not important to you, that my time isn't as valuable as yours. It doesn't have to be the end of the friendship, but it might be to the point where they know, oh, shoot, I'm meeting with Catherine. And I love Catherine. She's my friend. And it makes her feel unimportant when I'm late. So since she's on the schedule for brunch this week, I'm going to really try a little bit harder to watch the time. People, if they care about you and they're good friends, they will do that for you.
Yeah, I think those kind of friendships, like, they're give and take, right? Like, if you know somebody's chronically late, they might not be chronically late as a disrespect to you. It's just like they just might not have things together on a daily basis, and that is it. And that has been the case with several people. And that when you learn that, you learn to have empathy for what they're going through. I think that this whole trust thing really does stem from trusting yourself. And I think when we trust ourselves, other people will naturally trust us. It's an energy you put out. It's kind of that vibe. It's the it's the show up vibe in what we're talking about. And I think we all know somebody that, you know, if you ask them to come help you move at Saturday morning at 2 o'clock in the morning, they would show up because they're that reliable. If they say they're going to do that, they're going to do that. And those people are great. But I think inside of us, we want to know that we are trustworthy. And the way you start building that is by keeping your word to yourself. And so what I would recommend doing is, first of all, wipe the slate clean. Everything you've been telling yourself you need to do from this point in the past is behind you. Just let it go. And moving forward, start every commitment you make to yourself. Think about it more than a few seconds. Think about it for a day, a week, whatever you need to. And make a commitment to yourself. Write it down and just say, I am a person that gets up without hitting the snooze button. I am a person that works out every day. I am a person that goes for a walk. I am a person that eats healthy. Whatever it is, as you start to build your trust within yourself, you will show up in the world completely different. You will have more confidence. You will feel more secure. You will know that what you start to say in this universe is bond. So when you start with these little things, like I'm somebody who cleans up after dinner every time, you start doing that. The next thing you add on is, I'm also the person that makes their lunch the night before. Okay, so now you got two things. And you start cultivating a character of trust within yourself. And when you do that, your whole being changes. You show up differently in the world because you are different in the world.
Are you feeling incredibly overwhelmed and burned out and like you aren't even sure what to do with the rest of your life? We absolutely understand, and we've been there. That is why Andrew and I are starting a coaching program called 5 Weeks to Future You. We'd love to tell you more about it. We're actually offering free calls so that you can meet us, chat with us, and learn about our program and our framework so you can see if it's the right fit for you. Just go to 5yearyou.com and schedule a call. We are only going to accept 5 people at a time to make sure you get all of the attention you need. So if it's something you're interested in, please set up a call as soon as possible. And we're really looking forward to meeting you. I love that. And it's definitely something I need to work on. Like, thanks. If I had down, like, I'm going to work out every day at 6 p.m., but if someone needed something or one of the kids needed something, which is just like all the time, I would totally let myself down and go do something for them. And so I have to figure out how to incorporate these things. And I know some things we're good with, right? And I said, oh, I'm not going to drink alcohol anymore. I think it's been almost 3 years. And, you know, it kept to that, and am enjoying better health from it. I have deadlines as a financial writer all the time. Sometimes things happen and, you know, things are a day late and I feel terrible about it when that happens. And so I think a big part of my journey is treating myself, growing and learning how to treat myself the way I treat other people, which is with like a lot more care than I treat myself. So that's definitely, I've never thought of it as trust. I've always thought of it as discipline, but in a way they're linked.
Yeah. I think what we're talking about in this, and if you don't mind, I wouldn't mind like kind of cracking you this idea open a little bit, but we don't have to if you're not comfortable with it. I think that what we're talking about here, when we talk about being a trustworthy person to ourselves, because it's easier to keep, you know, you just proved to us that it's easy for you to keep your word to your kids because you'll sacrifice yourself. And that's right. Not what we're talking about. So what I think is going on when we talk about building trust within ourselves is to create a new identity of one where what I say to myself, I'm going to do. And so part of that, we'll use the workout one because I think that's the one we all can relate to.
Sure.
Is Like when you say to yourself, I'm going to work out every day at this time, and you're a solo mom with two kids and activities, and you know that stuff just isn't, you know, if you set that in the evenings when they're home, you are setting yourself up for fail. It's just yeah. the way it is, because kids are going to get sick, school projects, driving, lunches, dinner, you're on the go. And that is okay. That's totally acceptable. So that's why we're talking about when you make a commitment, make it like you can only make 10 in your life to yourself. And choose really, really wisely. So if you want to be that person that works out every day, choose to cultivate an attitude of, I am somebody that works out every day. Every day when this happens, you create the habit around it with the cue, the action, the reward. You know, when I walk the kids to school, I'm going to go for a nice 30-minute walk. I'm going to reward myself by listening to my book, and then I'm going to come home and do my work. That is creating a much different scenario than just saying, I'm going to do this. Because I think we've gotten so used to just saying these things that we want without thinking that there's a commitment behind that. And all it does for us is just make, you said it, it makes you feel bad. You feel bad that you didn't do the thing that you wanted to do because something else came up. So it really is about, you know, I feel bad about the things that I'm not doing. Okay, that's fine. Which character traits of trust do you want to build in yourself? Do you want to be timely? Do you want to be, you know, action oriented towards fitness? Do you want to have healthy diet? Do you want to stop drinking? Some of these things are really easy to do, but I think it really is shifting your identity underneath it that makes the world a difference.
Right. And I think that's a really good example. Probably like a year or two ago, you and I started eating a lot healthier. And we called it a lifestyle change. Like, we are now people who eat healthily, just full stop. It's such a habit now. It's just a natural part of our day, a natural part of our grocery shopping, natural part of eating out. Like, we're going to be getting salads and grilled chicken and things like that. Sometimes we have fries, fries and stuff, but it's our identity now. And so I think with the working out thing, it's a good example. I would like to build that same identity as we have with food, you know, but the food thing took time. But I'd like that. I think it'd be easier if that was my identity and it was just as natural as me going to the fridge and only having healthy things to choose from. It just.
Yeah. And I will say, like, that shift towards healthy eating, it was a year long thing, and it wasn't like it was a decision. And then we built trust within ourselves to know right. that, like, look, we're not bringing in potato chips. We're not bringing in French fries. We're not bringing in things that cause inflammation. Cause that was our big thing, was eating anti-inflammatory right. and all these things. We're not going to do those things because it's harmful to us. So right. I think it's an identity shift. And when you start to, when you go to a restaurant as a healthy person, you look mm-hmm. at the menu differently, as instead of a person who's trying to be healthy. Trying to be healthy yeah. is telling yourself that you're not going to be healthy most of the time. You're trying, mm-hmm. but you know, it's the old Star Wars proverb, you know, do or not.
Yeah, we only go places that have options for us. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I said for the longest time with that too, and this is a bit of a sidetrack, but like, I have food allergies, and I said, I don't know why I don't treat these other things that I know are bad for me, but not allergic to, as allergies and avoid them yeah. like the plague. And once I kind of got that shift in my head, it's like, do you want this? I'm like, no, that's going to harm me. It's not yeah. going to give me anaphylactic shock, but it's going to definitely harm me. So again, identity shift.
Yeah, well, these are good, like, hacks and thought processes. And so by that definition, one thing I could tell myself is, like, being sedentary is going to harm me.
Yeah, I like that.
No, but you just don't think of it like that, because we're here, we're at the computer, we're typing, we're, you know, I'm writing. But yeah, it's not a very active job that we have. So we have to actually get up and leave the house to get movement, or we both have rebounders too. But okay, I want to shift just a little bit, and I want to ask you a question, because asking your thoughts on this, because people might have questions. Maybe they have someone in their life who has seriously broken their trust. Do you think trust can be rebuilt, or do you think it's not black or white, I would say? But what can people do? Let's say they've broken someone's trust. What can they do to rebuild it? And is it possible? Or I guess you could answer it the other way. What steps can people take if someone else has broken their trust, someone important to them?
Okay, so that's a really good question. I think everybody's going to go through this in their life. And I think, unfortunately, we'll be on both sides of that.
Yeah.
And I think when it happens, you need to ask yourself, if you're the person whose trust has been broken, you need to look at this person and you need to ask yourself some hard questions in the beginning. You need to ask yourself, am I capable of forgiving this person for what they've done to me? Do I want to still have this person in my life based on what's happened? And when you ask those questions, you have to put everyone else aside. This is a personal choice. It's not whether your mom likes this person or you have kids together or anything else. It is a strictly soul call time. So when you start asking the tough questions and you decide, you know what, I do want this person in my life still, then you begin a process of repairing trust. And trust it's building a bridge, right? And a bridge isn't just built overnight. You build it one brick at a time, and you need to be aware that it's not going to be a straight line. You know, sometimes the bricks are going to fall in the river and they're going to wash away and whatever. Other times it'll go fast. It's not a linear path. So when you're starting to rebuild trust with that person, know that your guard will likely be up. And I think that's very natural and totally fine. I think that as you start to build that trust, you need to look for congruence. When it comes to, I think, you know, if we're talking about personal relationships and that person that we spend most of our time with, like our significant other, and trust has been broken in a significant way, we want to see congruence. Mm-hmm. I want to see personally, I want to see that your actions and your words are lining up. So if you tell me, you know, I'm not going to lie to you anymore, I'm going to tell you the truth about everything. And, you know, the next day you say, like, where were you? And you say, I was at work late. And you're like, well, you know, I just heard you were at the bar with your friends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not being built. So you need to do that. Whereas if, you know, the person comes home and says, yeah, I went out for drinks with people after work. Okay, you told me the truth. I may not necessarily care that you're doing this, but what we're building here is truth and trust and a new foundation. So part of it is this, you know, if you're able to forgive and move on, if you're able to accept that you still want this person, given everything that's happened, and then as you build, it's about knowing and checking in with yourself and them if they're going to actually do what they say they're going to do. That's what I would be for me. What would you say? What would you add to that? Or am I way off in your mind?
No, I agree. I think it's a personal preference. I would encourage anyone in a situation where trust is broken to put themselves first. It's not a natural thing where, especially, you know, people who are parents and things like that, you want to put your kids first. You want to put your kids' happiness first. But this applies to all relationships, even parents. You know, if parents betray your trust, or you have to decide, you know, how much do I value this relationship? How much do they listen to me when I bring up my concerns? Do they dismiss them? Are they sorry? Do they say, oh, I didn't realize that this was so important to you. I didn't realize that this was private. Or do they dismiss you and say, oh, you're making a big deal about this. This is not that big of a deal. So it definitely comes down to an individual basis. And I think everybody has different experiences of what they're willing to tolerate, right? I know that with our relationship, and for you and I, it's extremely open. And we've worked together for so long. You know, we have each other's passwords. We have each other's social media passwords, phone codes, all these things. And even though probably today I could look at your email, phone, Instagram, what I'm not going to because I trust you implicitly. But that's sort of the level we're at. But it comes from having lots of different experiences in life where this was like an ultimate priority in our relationship, where like trust was like paramount above anything else as a foundation. But other people, other relationships are different. Other people maybe haven't been, you know, burned before, or maybe they really value their privacy, or they don't want their spouse to get into their phones because they don't want them to see their messages with their sister, you know, like, or whatever. Everybody's got a different level, but I would say that you are allowed to honor your preferences. If you want to be in a relationship where you have wide open trust, you can find that. You deserve to have the type of relationship that you want. And if you want a better relationship, let's say with your parents, your coworkers, your boss, whatever it is, your children, it comes from openness. It comes from setting boundaries. It comes from, you know, saying what you want out of it. And some people will rise to meet that and other people will fall away. It's really hard when it's people close to you, but you know, we are here to encourage you to advocate for yourself and to tell you that you're not wrong or crazy or any of these things for wanting what you want in terms of people's trust.
Yes, I agree. And just, I'm just gonna, because you know, my brain gets sweet. She said we had a very open relationship. She meant communication relationship. I'm like, okay.
Oh my gosh.
But you
do
know,
not email my man. It is not that kind of open thing. Open communication and trust. Thank you. Yeah, sorry about
you're
that.
Welcome. You're welcome.
Thanks for clarifying just for the world on the podcast.
Yeah. When it comes to for us, I know for myself, I just want to, again, it's being congruent. And the password stuff and the phones and all that is really my way of showing you. And yeah. I know it's the same thing. It's like, look, I got nothing to hide. I am going to be honest with you. I'm going to tell you everything up front, even when it's uncomfortable. And you and I can both agree that we've had a lot of uncomfortable conversations around things from that honesty that it would have probably been just easier to go, you probably don't need to know about this, that, or the other thing. But this has been our thing. And we're like, no, we're going to share everything. And even though we know that, you know, sharing a certain dream that we've had that was like, you know, we know our thoughts are processing and have no comp might take an hour to talk about rather than, you know, the 1 minute it would take not to say it. Those things, because we have had a very, very long conversations about what it is to be in a trusting relationship. And that also comes from our past of having our trust broken by people that were very, very close to us earlier on in life and later in life. You know, we know each other's backgrounds and identities probably almost better than we know ourselves. You know, I always like to joke, I'm like, Kat knows me better than I know myself, but I'm really enjoying her telling me how I actually am. It's cool, but you get that way by building trust a little bit at a time. It doesn't happen overnight. It's those little moments where you, when it comes to trusting another person, and this has been my experience with, I'll just use you, Kat, is that I'm able to go, I'm really afraid to tell you this. And it's not something huge. It's like, I had fries at Five Guys last night. I had five fries with Ethan after this thing and, you know, all this
traitorous
stuff.
No.
It's just, you know, yeah. But. You know, I'm like, I know I'm being incongruent with myself and all these things, but I also know that, you know, it's the overall theme. And to share it, it's again, your little fear-mongering head will make it a bigger story than it is. But it's knowing that I have been able to come to you time and time again with the truth, and it is always received. And that's how you build trust, is that you have to decide what kind of relationship you want. And, it, you know, I know people that are like, I don't care where you are. When you're with me, you're with me. And when you're away, it doesn't matter. I have seen relationships like that. Not my cup of tea. No, that might work for them. So you need to know what you really want in a trusting relationship with yourself, with your family, with your friends, coworkers, and with the world around you. And as you get clearer on what you want, the more you can kind of move forward and let the people that don't align with you go their own direction. And that's pretty natural with clarity.
Yeah, I would definitely say that I'm really happy with the level of a trust and transparency, not openness in our relationship. But it would probably be a lot for other people who maybe haven't had the same experiences, and we go pretty in depth with it. But again, you have to decide what your priorities are in your personal and professional relationships and what matters to you. And it's okay for you to set those boundaries. It's okay for you to say what you want, and it's okay for you to wait and take time until you get what you deserve. We all have different thresholds for trust and what counts as truth and a lie. And you just have to sort of take the time to decide within yourself what that is and what matters to you.
Yeah, I agree. It's just it's a matter of personal preference. So to sum up, building trust is, it starts from within and then it moves outwards. And the more you go out with it, the more you start to have a little easier way of trusting people when you trust yourself. And if it comes to rebuilding trust, there are hard questions you might need to ask. And that is perfectly okay. We give you permission if you need external permission, but we prefer you give it to yourself. But we know sometimes we need to get it from other people. But look at the kind of person you want to be, because trust is an identity. And when you trust yourself and you meet somebody else who trusts themselves, it's a very different dynamic. You will know when a person trusts themselves and they know that they do what they say, and everybody will like that person because they are with their identity, both in verbal and action. You want to add anything else, Kat, before we get
to the glimmers? I think that's great. I think that summed it up nicely. So let's get to the glimmers. These are the happy, silly things that we share with you, books, apps, random things that just made us smile. And we just like to end on a positive note. So what is your glimmer for today, Andrew?
I have so many. Today, I'm going to pick my wealth boat from all the fun day stuff I learned about this past couple of weeks. I have it right here for you listening. You're not going to see it, but it is very, very big. And I'm very grateful for it. And it brings me joy every morning looking at it while I sit at my desk.
Yeah. So Andrew, everyone's like, what is that? So Andrew watched some feng shui classes after you read a feng shui book. And it said that like placing a wealth boat and in your personal directions can help bring wealth and prosperity to you. So you searched high and low for a wealth boat. You got one.
I went to a lot of places. I ended up having to get it online. And a lot of trips to Chinatown looking for stuff. And it was fun. It was a fun little excursion. And I really like it. And for those of you wondering, like, does this actually work? Yeah, it's things have gotten pretty good since I got it. So I'm very grateful for it. How about
you, Kat? Awesome. Well, you know, if you are new to the show, you might not know that I'm a thrift store goddess. And so I found a brand new in the wrapping game. Like, what do you meme is the board game. There's tons of games at the thrift store, but I never trust them because, you know, they could have missing pieces or whatever. This one was just brand spanking new. It was like $3. Anyway, the twins and I played it last night. I don't even think I told you that. It was so funny. Have you played that game before?
I've played it before. Yeah, it's a great game.
It's so silly. And like the twins are the perfect age for it. And all the pictures are really funny. We had another one that was similar, but a little bit too mature for them. So this one was way more on their level. And we had a good time. It made me happy. It's been a while since we played a game. So. No, that was my glimmer. It's very sparkly.
Yeah. So good. All right, folks. Well, thank you very much for tuning in. Make sure to hit that subscribe button and we will see you next time.
Bye.
Are you feeling stuck in your life right now? Kind of not sure where to go or what your next steps are? We've created a coaching program for you to help you discover your path, and we call it 5 weeks to Future You. What you'll get is 2-to-1 coaching with Catherine and I over 5 weeks while we help you figure out what the next steps are in your life. We offer a complimentary call. You just have to go to 5yearyou.com to check it out and set up your call with us to see if we're a good fit. I know from my own experience that it is incredibly hard to do this on your own, and that's why we're offering these coaching calls. We're only going to work with 5 people at a time to make sure that we can give you the attention that you truly deserve. So head on over to 5yearyou.com to get started.
Hey guys, quick disclaimer. We're podcasters on the internet. If you need to seek professional help, please go see your healthcare professional.